Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. I am honored to be here. I was saved the second Sunday of October, 1958. And went to Bible college, and then I went to Milford, Ohio, in 1964. And pastored there for a while, and then worked some in Mongolia, getting them, helping Brother Patterson and others get them the Bible. So I've had a wonderful life. Somebody said to me, "Where are you going?" And I said, I'm going to Worth and speak for Brother Patterson. And they said, "Why would you do that? You're 86 years old." I said, number one, he wants me to. And I owe him. I owe the whole family. I knew Dr. McCoy. He was a lot older than I am. That I was. And when I met him, and we became, for some reason, good friends, though we were opposites when it comes to age. And then Mike Patterson and Becky are good friends. I had Mike preach for me several times. One time we was having a missions conference, and it was snowing like you would never believe. And they said, "We ought to call this off." I said, "No, we have it." And they were staying in the basement. We did finally call it off. The next day, when Mike came out of the lower level of our house upstairs, and he thanked my wife with a ham that we had prepared for he and Becky. We didn't prepare any ham for him and Becky. That was for the dinner for the missionaries. And so we laugh about that. I want to read, please, with your permission, at verse 7 of chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. And then I'll make my prayer. Philippians 3, 7. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My text will be, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads and make our prayer. Our Father in heaven, it's a privilege to be here in this place that has such a history. Lord, to be with this mission agency and my friends. Lord, I pray you'd help me. And I pray people's coming wouldn't be in vain. And I pray we could know of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll thank you for it, and I love you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps I should define what is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. not the call of salvation. I received that second Sunday of October 1958. My wife and I, we received and responded to the call of salvation. It's not the call of service. I received that in 1960 when I went to Bible college. I went to Bible college to be a Christian school teacher, but I ended up second to semester of my junior year hearing the call to preach. But this is not the call of service. It's not a call of salvation. It's a call to fellowship. I think I'll defend that for you, if I also tell you that the underlying factor in most everything God did for us was to get us back to Himself. He created Eden for a place of fellowship. He left on the sixth day and they were in fellowship. He came back the first day, the eighth day, and found out they were out of fellowship. God created Adam for fellowship, but Adam fell, and God lost the place and the person of fellowship. He started working on regaining that fellowship by slaying the lamb. Then later on, his nation Israel went down to Egypt for 430 years. And then he sent Moses for them because he wanted to have fellowship with them. He got them out of Egypt into the wilderness, and the first thing he did, he stopped and built a tabernacle. You know why? A place of dwelling for God among his people. God wants to fellowship with us. A little side note, there's a phrase in the Bible not used often called the tent of meeting. You ought to read up sometime what that means. When Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, the first thing they did, they stopped to build a meeting place for God in the wilderness with him. And while that was being built, they mentioned the tent of meeting. You know what the tent of meeting was? That was a place God built for him and his people until the tabernacle was done. I mean, God wants to fellowship with his people. And so we see that. And then we go on, we see that the incarnation. What was that? That was God coming down to fellowship with his people. What is the second coming? That's God taking us to have fellowship with himself. All those efforts was crowned with the crucifixion of his son. That was the only way he could get to us for fellowship. So I'm saying the highest of callings is being in fellowship with God. So if that's true, then if we'll understand there's more to salvation than getting saved. Say that again, Brother King. There's more to salvation than getting saved. Would you go to Romans chapter 5 just for a minute? Would you mind doing that? Romans chapter 5. I want to show you verse 2 to prove my point that there's more to salvation. And, of course, the more to it is getting the fellowship with God. In Romans chapter 5, look if you would, please. In verse 1, it talks about our salvation. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look down. Those verses talk about us getting saved. I remember when I got saved. When I got saved, I had a hole in the heel of my sock. This honest truth for God. And we were poor. Of course, everybody's poor. But we were poorer than the poorest. And we went to Sunday school on the bus. And then when I got married, my mom and I got married, we went back to the church where we knew loved poor people. And I went forward and she did get saved. And I remember I had a hole in the heel of my sock. And I thought, now what's in big church, 7,000 people. What's some people going to think about that? I thought, well, I don't care because I'm working on my soul, not my sock. Amen. Thank you, Brother Keene. And so the whole point is there's more to salvation than just being saved. Now, I'm going to show you that. Look at verse 9 of chapter 5. Much more than what? Much more than just being saved. Now, being saved is great, but there's more to it than that. Look, if you would, at verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more. There's more to it than reconciliation. There's more to it than just getting saved. There's more to it than just getting forgiven. Look at verse 17 of chapter 5. For one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more. Look, please, if you would, down at verse 20. Much more. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm recommending to you there's more to it than what you got when you got saved. Amen. Now, Bible characters believe that. The greatest Bible character, the greatest leader in human history is Moses. Moses led a million people for 40 years and fed them 2 meals a day. That's over 3 billion meals. Moses divided the Red Sea. You know what Moses said in Deuteronomy? He said, Lord, there's more to it than this. Show me thyself. The greatest miracle worker on earth said, works won't satisfy. I found that out the hard way. Works won't satisfy. He satisfies. And Moses said, God, show me yourself. I'm glad for all of this, but there's more to it than all of this. There's fellowship that's involved. Show me thyself. I read that. Then I read where David said, my heart panteth after thee the way the young heart panteth after the water brook. David, who's a king, greatest king Israel ever had, he said, this is great stuff, but there's something missing. It's knowing you better. The Apostle Peter, one time, saw Jesus like he'd never seen before, and he said, depart from me, O Lord, I'm a sinful man. John, the Revelator, saw him like he'd never seen before and fell at his feet as dead. What are you trying to say, Brother Keene? I'm trying to say there's more to our salvation than just being saved. And I'm not putting just being saved down. I'm saying there's more to it. So I suggest that the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is to our fellowship. Look at chapter 3 and verse 7. For if by one man, chapter 3 of Philippians, and verse 8. Yea, doubtless, I am count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. My Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Underline the words, the excellency and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nothing is as good in the Christian life as knowing him better. Look up here at verse 10. For I know that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I think what Paul's talking about in the high calling of God in Christ is we're called to fellowship. And everything under that it does almost is because of fellowship. So what I want to suggest to you, it'll cost you something to fellowship with him. You know, the question for us Christians should not be, is it right or wrong? The question for us Christians is, how will this affect my fellowship? How will this affect my fellowship? I want to suggest it's costly to have good fellowship. I'm a dinosaur, I know that, and I can't help it. I'm trying to recover, but I have a hard time with some of the new stuff. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't like it. Thank you, Brother King. You're all right. I would name some of those things, but it's too far home. It costs you something to have good fellowship. You know what it'll cost you? It might cost you your career. Did Peter? Who said all the work of God should be turned over to the young people? My heart hurts, and I was talking to my friend here, John. How often anymore do we see families, mature men with a career, coming forward to bow at the feet of the Savior and give themselves? Might cost you your career. Might cost you your country. We was talking today. Mission boards, all of them report not many going anymore. My wife and I, we have four children. We have a daughter in Africa. Been there 33 maybe years as a missionary. To do that cost her country. Not only that, might cost you your family. You might have to quit having Christmas dinner together or Thanksgiving dinner together. You might have to quit celebrating birthdays with your family. It costs something to have good fellowship, denying yourself, dying to self. So the question is, we have a high calling and a high cost. May I recommend to you that the high cost is worth having the high calling. You know, when you're fellowshipping with him, it's precious. You know, when I got saved, I keep talking about that, but I can't get over it. When I got saved, I just came to get a Savior. The preacher preached the paint off the walls, and I thought for sure that my mother had been talking to him about me. And I said to my wife, "You want to go get saved?" And we'd talked about it 3 or 4 weeks in advance, before. Every Sunday we'd talk about it. She said, "I do not." I said, "I do too." So we went forward just to find the Savior. You know what I didn't know? I didn't know also I was finding a friend. I didn't know when I came forward that I was finding a new family. You know, I don't like to go to church. I don't like to go to church on TV. Now, some have to do it. And you want to do it, and you have a big time. But I don't like going to church on TV. It's not a family spirit. It's kind of like trying to hug a mannequin. not much warmth in that. Now, I know some, and my wife and I, we have to once in a while, too. But there's a family. I didn't know I was going to find a family that cared for me, prayed for me when I was sick, and laugh when I tell my flat jokes, and warm my hand and hug our neck when we go to church. So my pastor's here. I shouldn't say this, but he's a great preacher. Sometimes, I shouldn't even start it now. This is a joke, Ed, okay? Sometimes I get as much out of the lobby as I get from the pulpit. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying. I mean, there's something about a family. I don't want to go to church after Fox News. I want to go to church where the preacher preaches and the singer sings and people smile at you and pity you. I just come for a Savior. You know, when I came, I didn't know that I was going to get a prayer privilege. Brother Bill talked about prayer this morning. I never have figured it out, but I'm trying. I do a lot of it, and I wonder what I'm doing. I can't tell him anything he don't know. I can't get him to do a bigger plan than he's already planned, a better plan than he's already planned. But he said to pray, so I pray. I didn't know I was going to get prayer privilege. You know what? I also didn't know I was going to get 8,000 promises to work from. I only knew one promise. He that cometh to me, out of no wise cast out. That's all I knew, and that's what I went for, and that's what I used, and it happened. And then the guy gave me a Bible. And he said, now, there's 8,000, I don't know who counted these, 8,000 promises in that Bible. Probably many of us, you haven't taken time to read them. You don't know what to expect, or can't expect. But there's 8,000 promises, it's yours. All the promises in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. You know something else I got? I didn't know I was going to get a comforter. He works best with me at night. You know something about going to bed, you often feel sorry for yourself. But the comforter reminds you, not only is he a comforter, he reminds you and reminds me that I got a high priest. I didn't come for to get a high priest. I didn't even know about a high priest. I come to get a Savior. And he said, yes, but there's much more, Charles, if you'll have fellowship with me. You know what else I got when I came forward? An inheritance. I've only got one, I think, in my lifetime. And it wasn't anything to protect. I didn't know I was going to be heir and join heir with the Savior, with God's Son. You know, when I came forward, I didn't know I was going to get sealed. I thought you had to keep yourself safe. I said to my mother one time, John, that was the guy I worked with, he's my shirt-tail cousin. John said, now that I'm saved, I can't be lost. He's crazy, Mom. And she said, no, my son, you're sealed. Sealed with the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when I got saved, I was kind of like the prodigal. I just came to get forgiveness and find a bunkhouse. When he came, he found that the Father gave him a ring and a robe and sandals and the fatted calf. Somebody said, who's the most sorry person at the prodigal son's party? Who is the most reluctant one there? And most people say the elder brother. No, the fatted calf. You know, when I got saved, I just got saved and missed hell. Then I found out I did. But I also got to go to heaven. Heaven. The older I get, the more I think about it. You know, do you ever think who you're going to, at the resurrection, who are you going to look for going up? Isn't that a strange thought? I'm going to look for my parents. Maybe George that went me to Christ. Maybe my pastor that I got saved under. But we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven. I didn't know that when I got saved. And I'll tell you this, and don't get excited, I'm not done with my sermon, but I'm done at this point. When I got saved, I didn't come for it, but I got a call. I worked at Fisher Water. I worked in Mogador Chemical when I got saved, and I worked the night shift. And working under them big chemical vats in the wintertime, colder than a mother-in-law's kiss. I didn't fight the call. I was glad to get from where I was to where the call was going to take me. I got saved. You know, oh well. I got saved. I learned how to live life. So anyway, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying I got the high calling.
of God in Christ Jesus, and you do too. So, my point is, there's a high calling and a high cost. Why wouldn't it be a high cost for such an elevated what you get? Why wouldn't it be a high cost to me to get it? It was a high cost for him to give it. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So my question is, it changed my life. When I realized salvation was the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, A.B. Simpson said this. He said, it's no longer the gift that I seek, but now it's the giver. He said, it's no longer the work of God that I am concerned about, but the God of the work. When I realized all I got in salvation, then we have a holy indifference to the outcome because the God I serve is good. When I realized who I serve in, I could honestly pray, not my will, but thine be done. When I got saved and realized the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, I started to really trust him to supply my needs. When I realized what the high calling of Christ Jesus was, I lost my competitive spirit and wanted everybody to win. It used to be I secretly wanted everybody to lose so that I could look good. And I want everybody to win. When I realized what the calling of God in Christ Jesus was, I developed a spirit of patience. I am not famous for it. But now I can wait on him. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's more to it than just getting saved. And if we'd realize that, and if our people would realize that, we'd have less casualties. I've been sick, not nigh unto death. And I'm not a hypochondriac, but nor do I have any martyr spirit in me. When I have pain, I want a pill. Amen. So I haven't preached. This is the second, second time I've been away from home preaching in 2 years. But God has blessed my ministry, in spite of the fact that I wasn't in it. He's showing me it's okay. I'll handle it. The other day I was telling Brother Patterson, the other day a man called me in. He's helping us, the School of Translation, and it's expensive. And a fella sent me $500,000 for that check. I mean, for that school. I needed that. How long would it take me to preach to raise that, do you think? But God sent it while I was in my easy chair. Oh, well. I just want to tell you I love him, and I want to have the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, best I could do, but you can do a lot with a little. Lord, you fed 5,000 with a little. You fed 4,000 with a little. And so, Lord, this is all I've got. Would you use it to help somebody, to put somebody on the road to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and realize it's a high calling and there's a high cost, but there's a big return. Lord, everything don't go right for us immediately all the time, but we praise you for the outcome. The outcome's always going to be good. So God, speak to people today. I thank you for it, and I love you, and I pray in your precious name. Amen.